Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now are your hosts, Zach Clinton and Brooke Bryan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Zach.
And we are so excited to have you guys back today.
Yes.
We have an absolute powerhouse.
Come on.
Pastor on today. No joke. When I was listening to this interview back, it was just like, like truth, wisdom, truth bombs. So grab your pen, your journal.
Seriously.
If you're in the car, pull over immediately.
Yeah.
Open the notes in your phone. No, I'm just kidding. But we have an incredible guest.
Yeah.
So today's guest is Sammy Rodriguez, Pastor Sammy, and he is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which is the world's largest Hispanic Christian organization with, listen to this, over 42,000 plus U.S. churches all over the globe. So this guy is incredible. He is spirit-filled, and he just loves Jesus. So he gives us quite the interview today.
Yeah. No, he really does. Sammy is absolutely incredible. We recorded this interview at our AACC Waymaker World Conference where he came and spoke, Brooke, and he was absolutely ridiculously powerful to the point where I'm talking all 7,000 people in attendance were on their feet, hands raised, praising Jesus while he was just spitting truth, like you're saying. And
yes.
I mean, he really is a powerhouse, and he will say so many things in this interview coming up that are just one-liners that like you have to write down and honestly like soak them in and meditate on, because it's like they're so powerful and they're so good and they're so relatable with our everyday life, and we can take so much truth from what he has to say. So I'm really excited for all of our listeners to tune into this one.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I think a cool thing that we get the opportunity to do, you and me, is just to break down some of these incredible one-liners.
Yes.
Because it's just a 13-minute interview,
right.
And this
it's
is
quick.
A piece of power. Like, you are just punched in the face with the Spirit, and it is incredible. And so, Zach, tell me one of your pieces that hit you in this interview, and I'd love to just chat about it.
Well, one thing that I view, like, not just for our generation, not just in the Hispanic community, but globally, I mean, this dude is a massive powerhouse Christian leader.
Yeah.
And so I asked him a question in the interview about kind of what does he think that every leader possesses? What are some characteristics or some qualities? And he made a statement where he said, every leader understands that today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Then he goes on to say, every good leader is self-aware that you are what you tolerate. And I think that statement is, man, I just had to let that one sink in for a while as I just thought about, man, complacency and comfort and so many things that we allow ourselves to be trapped in. But then it kind of goes back to understanding the concept of anything worth valuing this life is going to cost us something.
Yes.
Right? And if we're just tolerating for average or mediocre, or if we're just tolerating allowing things to happen around us that shouldn't be happening around us, or allowing ourselves to just settle for something less than our very best, or to settle for something that's less than what we should be striving to be, which is holy and obedient to God ultimately in our faith walk, then man, we're not doing it right. And that's what he's saying, that captivity piece. If we're just settling for less than, then we're being held captive and in bondage to what God ultimately wants for us to do, which is to live in obedience. And I think that's what Satan would love nothing more, is to trick us into thinking that the way that we're living is all that there is to do and all that there is to live for. But there's so much more than that. And so I kind of want to challenge our listeners up front that we're tolerate, you know, what do you specifically tolerate in your own life that you need to either quit doing, that you need to help somebody else quit doing, or whatever it comes down to, what do you tolerate, and really just kind of do some self-reflection up front. But what do you think, Brooke?
I love that. And I love, you are what you tolerate. That is just powerful.
Yeah.
You are what you tolerate. And something that you said was that everything we do is going to cost us something.
Yeah.
And I think that goes so well with another piece that Pastor Sammy brought up. He said that God is the God of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that he's the same God that's of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So the God that's the God of the process is the God of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about that is that on my team, on my lacrosse team, we're constantly saying that the process is the product.
Yeah.
That the actual grittiness, the experience, that wilderness moment, that is the product in and of itself.
Mm.
And God brings outcome through the process. So almost like process equals outcome.
Right.
And that just reminded me in my reading, just like leaders like Joseph, David, Moses, they all went through these process pieces that were the product of who they were as leaders.
Mm.
So I think of David. He was anointed as a young kid, like, hey, I'm going to be king. All of a sudden, Saul, the real king at the time, wanted to kill him.
Mm.
So he had to run away and live in caves for over half of his life before he even got a taste of being king.
Mm.
And those moments in the caves, that was his process. That was the product of this humility, gentle but strong king that David became. That was a man after God's heart. Joseph, this kid who got the coat of many colors, these dreams about how he was anointed, and he gets wrongfully thrown in prison for 40 years, Zach. 40 years. Come on, somebody.
That's insane.
And this process that he went through, this time in prison, is the exact thing that formed him into the leader of Egypt, the second to the Pharaoh that God needed him to be. Moses, same thing. Leaves Egypt. He was the prince. Leaves for 40 years until he sees the burning bush. And then he's able to deliver the Israelites. So it's just this reminder, again and again, day after day, don't fix your eyes on the outcome. We can't do that. Fix your eyes on Christ.
Mm.
This process that we're going through, that he's leading you in, it's the product that he is birthing in you.
Right. Amen. I was telling you before this that Inky Johnson, one of my favorite speakers, he makes the quote, "Can I be committed to the process without being emotionally attached to the results?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so powerful, and it resonates really well with what you're saying, tying it all together, because you know, there's so many stories out there where someone had a plan for their life, Brooke, and everything was going great and dandy, and this is what they wanted, but it just didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that God wasn't preparing you for something so much greater, right? I mean, you can have a plan in mind, and then all of a sudden, it takes a 180 turn on you, and God shows up in a way that you could have never fathomed, and it never would have happened if it would have gone the way I wanted it to go, or you wanted it to go, right? So even in the valleys of our life, we can still find so much fruit and so much life. And Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 3, I want to read them real quick. They say, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" And that passage to me is so powerful because God put them in a valley for a reason, right?
Yeah.
The valley is essential to human growth.
Yep.
And there are so often times where we face these valley or wilderness, like you're saying, experiences in life, which just are not what we want to live through. They're very painful and they're very dark. But ultimately, what this whole entire interview is about is perseverance. And it's if we persevere, if we remain steadfast, if we remain faithful and obedient, you see, it's, it has nothing to do with our faithfulness at the end of the day, because God always remains faithful, regardless of which way we waver, regardless of which route we may take. God sometimes loves to take us the route of the wilderness to just show us that he will remain faithful in the good and in the bad. God is not just there for the blessings. He's also there in the biggest trials of our lives as well.
That is so good.
Yeah.
So, Built Different Podcast community, Stay tuned. You're just going to have a powerhouse bit of truth interview from Pastor Sammy coming up right after this quick break.
Want to learn more from Zach? You can invite him to speak at your next event. Zach travels all over the nation, inspiring leaders young and old, from students to athletes, military personnel, and more. Zach is passionate about challenging others to push past their limits and lead a built different life. To book Zach for your next event, you can visit ZachClinton.com. That's ZachClinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Pastor Sammy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Honored to be with you.
Seriously, what a blessing it is to just sit across from you, to learn from you, to pick your brain and your heart. I know my dad absolutely loves you, speaks so highly of you. I've seen you, I've listened to you, and what a powerful man you are. Incredible leader, and I just thank you for all that you do and all the influence and impact you've had on our generation specifically and on myself in particularly. So thank you for being here with us at AACC. It's a blessing to have you, sir. What I want to do, though, Pastor Sammy, up front, is I understand what we love to do on the Built Different podcast is really realize that, yes, where you're at, you've had great success. You are a powerhouse, right? And you are a leader. But at the same time, everybody has a story. There's always backwater to the story. Pastor Sammy, help us understand kind of your beginnings, your upbringing, and what has really led or shaped the trajectory of your life to where you're at today.
First of all, to Mutual Love Fest, I want to be like your dad when I grow up.
Same.
14-year-old kid, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pennsylvania. My dad was a Mack truck worker. My mom was a homemaker. That sort of Calvinistic work ethic defined me.
Yeah.
In the small town of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Mm. Hence my messianic complex, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And that forged me. My parents are not preachers. Mm. They did raise me in an evangelical church.
Yeah.
But that to a great degree defined me. I grew up as a math nerd, Trekkie.
Yeah.
So diehard Trekkie. and with a strong affinity for mathematics. My dream at that time, back in the day, was I wanted to be an engineer for IBM. And all of a sudden, God shows up, shifted my trajectory, and here I am today.
It's amazing. It really is. God has these plans that may be hidden to us in the moment, and sometimes they may not go as we had planned, but it's amazing to see what he can do in and through a life. It really is. Pastor Sammy, being a leader in the society and the culture that we live in today, you obviously see a lot of challenge and a lot of struggles that generations are really struggling with in our society. And in my generation in particular, the younger generation, what would you say are some of the leading causes of struggle and pain and grief going on for us right now?
It's relativism. It's this unbridled assault on truth. Your generation is emerging in a world where logic, reason, and common sense have died on the altar of expediency. These are things that are like absent from present-day conversations. Logic, reason, common sense. It is an emotionally exuberant-driven world. And your generation, fortunately, because I say fortunately instead of unfortunately, you have an opportunity to turn on the light.
That's right.
And push back darkness. But as a strong Christ follower, but you are living in a time of unbridled exuberance, of hype, hyperbole, hypersensitivity, hypertolerance to things that we shouldn't tolerate, and hyper intolerance to a Judeo-Christian value system. That's the world you're living in.
Right.
That's the good news. No, I'm kidding. That's the bad news. The good news is, you know, we've been down this road before. From Genesis to Revelation, there are so many biblical passages of opportunities for Gideon's army to arise, a Paul and a Peter to rise up and to speak truth to power. So I do believe that you are ordained by God to be alive for such a time as this in order to be a city on a hill.
I love what you're saying, because like you're saying, there's so much opportunity to rise up. And when I think of people that rise up in the face of pressure and hard times, I think of a leader. Okay, so that's what I really want to dive into. You're a leader that's not only in the Latin community, but in the world, in the nation right now. And you have this voice that other people don't have. And so what I want to ask you, sir, is being a leader, having done this for a long time and leading really well, what would you say every good leader possesses? What are some characteristics, maybe?
There's a rubric for that. Every good leader is committed to the following outline. Mm-hmm. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Mm. Every good leader understands that.
Yeah.
Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Every good leader is cognizant of the fact that truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political or cultural expediency. Every good leader is self-aware that we are what we tolerate. As a leader, you just don't tolerate too many things that run counter to your drive, be it whatever that may be, vision, your mission. So we all understand that as a Christian leader, we reconcile our eschatology over our missiology, which means we're all praying for Jesus, Maranatha, for Jesus to return. While we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up.
That's right.
And we are the leadership of that church standing up. As a leader, these are some of the things that guide me every single day. When your integrity is more important than your influence, nothing can stop you. When you are driven by anointing rather than ambition, nothing can stop you. When your hunger for God is greater than your fear of criticism, nothing can stop you.
Wow.
And when what's behind you is under the blood of Jesus, what's in front of you cannot be stopped. Wow. Every single day, I remind myself of these biblically substantiated principles.
Wow. I mean, that is powerful stuff. I really hope that people are going to write those things down, go back, rewind, listen to it again, because holy cow, I mean, that is incredible. Pastor Sammy, you know, you just wrote a book recently titled Persevere with Power. Sir, what's at the heart of that book? And for every reader that goes in, that flips through all the pages, that gets every single word, what do you want them to walk away with?
It's the biblical narrative of Elijah and Elisha. It speaks to one generation passing faith to the next generation. We find Elisha, 1 Kings 19:19, pushing the plow.
Yeah.
When Elijah placed his mantle upon him, his mantle was the indicative marking, the physical affirmation of the prophetic calling. Yeah. Hence, the book is a biblical metaphor. If you've been pushing the plow in life, family, relationships, faith, in your country, in your community, if you've been pushing the proverbial plow, then you qualify for a mantle. It is the plow of perseverance that leads us to the mantle of promotion. And there are people in the world who have an entitlement mentality. They would love a mantle without ever pushing the plow. But if you've never pushed a plow, don't expect to receive your mantle. That's sort of the meta narrative of this book.
You must push your plow to receive the mantle.
Absolutely.
I love that.
That's Galatians 6:9.
That's right.
Do not grow weary of doing what is right.
That's right.
At the appointed time, you will reap a harvest of blessings. With the caveat, the Apostle Paul writes, if you never give up.
That's right. I was about to say, that's that word. Keep going.
Keep going.
Don't ever give up. You're never out of the fight. That's the byline of our podcast. You're never out of the fight.
Absolutely.
So good, Pastor Sammy. One thing that I want to now speak into here is I'm not naive enough to understand that there's somebody listening today that's broken, right? They feel completely lost. They're lost in the society, the culture. Maybe they're playing the victim card. Whatever it is, they feel silenced. They're hurt. They're in pain. They feel like they're drowning. Whatever it is, Pastor Sammy, when they feel like they're out of the fight, what's the encouragement that you would speak into their life right now that would just preach hope and motivation to them in their hardship?
The God of the process is the same God of the outcome. Again, from Genesis to Revelation, we see God on countless occasions convert a mess into a miracle. Regardless of the level of brokenness, it could be personal, relational, spiritual, financial, whatever it may be, our God is the God that has the power to convert a broken piece into a blessed piece. And broken pieces, through the vicarious atoning finished work of Christ, become a blessed piece. P-E-A-C-E.
Amen.
That's the work of the gospel.
That is the work of the gospel. And that's beautiful how he can turn our pain into purpose, like you're saying. So good. Pastor Sammy, I'm wondering personally, being a man of influence, being a pastor, being somebody that people look up to all the time, you're always pouring yourself to help others, to speak into their life. What is it that a man at your caliber, right, that of your giving, how are you filling yourself up every day to fill the cup so it doesn't run dry?
First thing I do is I want to make sure I don't drink my own Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Don't drink your own Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. I'll repeat that. Live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. That's what should drive you. And every single day, my priority is I go vertical before I go horizontal.
That's right.
The cross.
That's right.
So every the moment I wake up, it's my devotions. It's my prayer time. It's my time in the Word of God and the promises of God. It's that alignment, my discipline, discipline. Destiny without discipline is disaster.
That's right.
You need discipline. And it's a disciplined prayer life, devotional life, and living out your faith on a daily basis. Something happened to me years ago. I flipped the script. And I would pray, God answer my prayer, and I would be obsessed with God bless me. And I had this moment with God, this moment of zen in the words of John Stewart. I had this encounter with God through his word and his spirit that I flipped the script and I stopped asking God answer my prayer. And now my prayer is, Lord, make me the answer to someone else's prayer. Instead of asking for blessings, Lord, make me the blessing into someone else's life. And it, of course, that means God has to bless you for you to become a blessing. But it flips everything. It's not a not some sort of narcissistic, self-affirming Christian walk where it's all about me. But it's about you becoming light in a very dark world. You becoming the primary conduit by which people experience the fullness of the grace and the gift and the glory of the risen Christ.
Amen.
That's my assignment on a daily basis. Change the world. Not with rhetoric, but through my actions, interactions, and reactions, change the world.
And not just changing your world, but changing the world.
The world.
The world. Sir, I've never done this before on the podcast, but I mean, you're just so powerful. You're such an amazing and gifted communicator, and you're a pastor at heart. To the person today that is not a believer, you're talking about being the light. You're talking about God being like the process, right? God is the God of the process, same as God of the outcome. To the person that's not a believer, how can they accept Christ into their life in a moment right now?
My primary encounter with God, other than when I was 14 years old in that evangelical church, I became an evangelical agnostic. I was at Penn State University in my physics course.
Yeah.
And that's when I really encountered, like, wow, the mathematical probability of everything happening by chance would require a lot more faith than I could possibly ever accommodate in my life. Which means, because I'm a faith and science person, there is an architect, a designer of the universe. It's embedded in our human genome to the level of our mitochondria. All around the universe, every single component speaks to a creator, an architect, not just an architect, but a designer who is concerned with our corresponding purpose and destiny.
Amen.
To that unbeliever, open your heart.
Yeah.
Not only is he the designer of the universe, he is the Lord of your heart. And Christ, his testimony, the fact that 2,000 years later, after every single ideological attempt to annihilate the message of the cross, we're still standing. Let me encourage you right now to open your heart to the Spirit of the living God.
That's right.
Who will convict you and comfort you and lead you to all truth. And today is that day.
Today is that day. Open your heart, because like you said, the Word is alive and hope is a person. Man, Pastor Sammy, just in closing, I mean, what a powerful episode. And I think I've pulled so many wise nuggets out of here from you, and I'm going to take some of the stuff and quote you and all sorts of different stuff. But I mean, you're powerful, sir.
Oh, I'm honored.
In closing, Pastor Sammy, what would you say? Where can we go to find out more about you, to find out more about all that you're doing to impact and influence all the generations and all your work?
PastorSam.com is our website.
PastorSam.com.
And of course, Instagram, Facebook, Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, Twitter, and so forth. We just want to be light.
That's right.
That's all we want to do.
That's right.
Be light. But there's a book, that Persevere with Power book speaks to, it's arguably the most collective sort of presentation that encompasses everything we've shared in this podcast. So let me encourage you to pick that up.
Absolutely. I encourage all of our listeners, please go get that valuable resource. Pastor Sammy, thank you so much for being the light, for pouring into others, for impacting and influencing so many lives. You're a blessing, my friend. Thank you for being here with us, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Sammy, that was so good.
Yeah.
I loved listening to that interview, Zach.
Yeah.
Something that I thought that was so cool was his four points that he touched on that he said guides him every day, that he repeats over himself every day. And I thought it would be cool just to hit on those 4 points.
Yeah.
And just talk about you and me dialogue, how about those practically play out in a Christian life.
Love that.
Because I think sometimes it's hard to see that. Like, how does that really play out in my life, in someone else's life? And those were so powerful. I just thought we could go through them.
Love to.
So the first one Pastor Sammy said was that integrity is more important than influence. He says integrity is more important than influence. So I think the question I had about that when I was kind of meditating over that piece of wisdom Pastor Sammy said was, where can influence challenge my integrity? It's like, where does that actually collide? Where I want influence so bad that I'll actually give up my integrity to get it. And this example immediately came into my mind, Zach. And it was during conditioning on my team. And it was when I'm running next to my buddy. And we have to run down and back. And say my buddy doesn't hit the line with her foot. Now, our conditioning coach is like 70 yards away from this happening. So she has no clue. But if I look over, I know that that happened. And when I run back for the rest period, I then have a decision to make.
Yeah.
Am I going to let my desire for influence, my desire to be liked by my teammate, override my integrity to call her out in the truth, in love? Like, hey, bro, I know we've both committed to doing this well, doing this 100%, hitting that line every time. And I have a decision. Like, am I going to let influence take control there? And I think it's just a powerful thing that then seeps into all the areas of our life. Because it's like you were saying at the beginning, Zach, like, how much of this will we tolerate? How much will we allow to go on before we say, no, that's enough?
Right. And I think that is so powerful, and something that I always ask a lot of clients or individuals that I get the opportunity of sitting down with on a daily basis, that I really think come back to integrity and being a person of your word, or person that follows through with the mission that God has instilled in your life, is really like, what is your why? You know what I mean? Why do you do what you do? Inky Johnson, again, I love this man, but he made a quote that says, integrity or character is defined on the days when you don't feel like doing what you once said you would do. And I think when we go back to what Sammy was saying, that integrity is more important than influence, like, what are you living for? Why do you do it? Are you doing it for the applause of others, the applause of man? Or are you doing it for the applause of nail-scarred hands? Right. And so I think that is kind of the piece that I've always gotten when I think of integrity and actually following through with something and understanding. There's another thing that says, if your why doesn't make you cry, then it's not big enough or it's not deep enough. Your why should be the basis for what you do every single thing, every single day. So if you care enough about it, like we were talking about, if you have somebody, you know, I think personally in my life in high school, like, I would joke around with some of my buddies, and maybe some of them weren't making the best decisions in the world. And like you, I just wanted to be liked because I wanted to feel the acceptance and the belonging piece that everybody wants to have influence, right? But we get lost in that people liking a stage of life, you could say. And we don't dive deeper. It's very surface level. So we allow things, or we tolerate things to happen, like you're saying, that really at the end of the day are so derogatory and can be so bad for someone's trajectory for their life, rather than like standing up and rising up, like Sammy's really talking about in this episode, and saying, like, no more, because I care enough and I believe enough that this faith that I live is so real. It's not just something that I believe, it's who I am, that, like, I have to put a stop to this, in a sense, and I have to tell you about this person, this Jesus, and why I live the way that I do.
You know? I love that. And that's loving them, too.
That is loving.
Because I think something I was just thinking when you were talking was that sometimes my desire to be liked gets in the way of someone's opportunity to be loved. My desire to be liked gets in the way of me loving them. And, oh man, that's powerful, Zach. So moving on to that second point from Pastor Sammy, it is driven by anointing over ambition. We need to be driven by anointing, not ambition. Mm. Now, when I was thinking about ambition and anointing, obviously, I think ambition in and of itself is not a bad thing.
Right.
I think it's, you need to be passionate about what the Lord's made you passionate about.
That's right.
Hands down. But what I was thinking of is how important that beginning part is. Mm. What are you driven by?
Mm-hmm.
Are you driven by anointing or are you driven by ambition?
Mm.
And the difference there is that if I'm driven by ambition, like I want to be, oh, I'm going to be the starter. I'm going to be the leading goal scorer. I'm going to be the best salesperson. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. When those outcomes don't come, you're devastated because you're driven by ambition. So it's what you get, what you achieve, what the outcome is, like we were saying at the beginning.
Yeah.
But when you're driven by anointing,
yeah,
you know this is what the Lord has made you to do, made you to be. You can be confident in that. The outcome kind of dissolves away. And when you don't get the outcome you don't want, you're not devastated anymore because you're like, this is God ordained. I'm anointed in this. So whatever the Lord's bringing about, praise the Lord. Let his will be done because I'm not worried. He's going to bring what he's going to bring. And I know I'm anointed in this. So in due time, like Pastor Samuel was saying, I will reap a harvest if I don't give up. Like you brought up, Zach, from Galatians 6:9.
That's right.
So when we're driven by anointing, we have nothing to fear because we know God's in control. But when we're driven by ambition, we take that control from God. We usurp him from his rightful place. We say, I'm in control. And that's where anxiety comes in. That's where the freakouts happen. Yeah. And that's where we get devastated and discouraged.
Mm. I think that's so powerful. And like you were just talking about, God's will for my life.
Yeah.
Right, because it's so easy, and I think our culture and society preaches, go out and make a name for yourself, right?
Yes.
Being athletes, we understand what it means to go out there and to grind and to get after and just produce and execute and get the job done. And unfortunately, we live in, I think, in a society where execution is worshipped, right? It's like if you can execute and get the job done, you're going to be a starter. You're going to get this. You're going to get the money. You're going to get the fame. But ultimately, it's in those valley moments like you're talking about when things don't always go your way that you can still be driven by the calling that God has placed on your life and not alter or deter from that calling and the journey that God has placed you on specifically because it's so easy to grow weary of doing what's right. It's so easy to say, okay, this ain't working. Even though I feel called to it, I'm going to go be ambitious somewhere else because I want this for me.
Woo.
But when you start understanding that, man, you're driven by God's calling and God's anointing, then you find freedom in it, even in the bad days, because you know it's where you were meant to be.
Yeah. Whoa. That is so good. The third point that Pastor Sammy brought up was your hunger for God is greater than your fear of criticism. Your hunger for God must be greater than your fear of criticism.
Hmm.
Something I was thinking about for this one specifically was me and my buddies, Lizzie and Hannah, we've been, I told you this before, Zach, but we're reading through Acts and she reads True. So we're just getting through this study and there seems to be this common theme of the early church and the disciples who are spreading the way of Jesus.
Yeah.
Constantly coming up against opposition. It's just a fact. The moment that the Spirit is doing signs and wonders through them, the moment that the Spirit speaks through them with truth and the gospel is literally spreading like wildfire in Acts, there is immediate opposition from people like the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. They threaten their lives. They throw them in prison. And what that reminds me of in this one specifically is our hunger for God and for doing the things of God, like the people in Acts, is it greater than our fear of criticism? Because what I'm reading in Acts is, it's not a question, Zach, whether criticism is going to come or not. Criticism will come. Opposition will come. Because to be honest, the enemy is freaked out about what the Lord is doing in and through your life. And so he's going to do everything to stop that. And one of the responses of the disciples in Acts after they had been just thrown in prison was this. Says this in Acts. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name of Jesus.
That's right.
The disciples literally responded by rejoicing, saying, no way, we're counted worthy to be treated in a shameful way on behalf of the name of Jesus. They wanted to share in Christ's suffering. And I think that that is exactly what this principle is saying. It's like, we need to have this hunger to do what God's doing and not live in fear for the opposition that's coming, but instead be like, bring it. Bring it. This is what I'm made to do. It is my honor to endure this opposition on behalf of doing the will of God here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think it's so powerful because one of my favorite passages too comes from Acts 16 when it talks about Paul and Silas. And they were out on the road. They were preaching the gospel and they're thrown in prison.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember that story, but at the beginning, part of that story, they're thrown in prison. They're in chains. They're in shackles.
Yeah.
And they have this sense of unconditional joy where they start singing to the Lord even in the midst of their pain.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that if we're doing anything of eternal significance, you're doing something good or of that eternal significance factor, then I promise you're going to get these bad desires. You're going to get people that are trying to make you settle or tolerate something that you shouldn't.
Yes.
And that's where I think that hunger for God, you don't just need, like, you don't just need to talk about it. You actually need to be hungry for God. Like, you need it. And it's such an important thing. And I think people that aren't hungry for God, that's probably one of the most dangerous places to be in life, like 100%. So we got to be hungry for him, but then also realize, like you're talking about, that that fear of criticism, I guess what I'm saying is, are you driven by fear or are you driven by faith at the end of the day? Because if you're motivated by fear, saying, you know, I don't want to do this or I will do this because I'm afraid of what may happen, that's totally different than saying, I'm going to do this because I believe that this is where I was called to be. I believe that this is what God has called me to do. I believe that I was supposed to be a man or a woman of faith. So regardless of what's going on, I'm going to be hungry for what God wants for my life, not what man wants, not these things, but I want only what God wants. And I love that passage saying that they were counted worthy to be taken literally as prisoners, to be taken beaten on behalf of God. What a beautiful thing, right? And they were joyful about that. Saying, look.
They're like, come on, let's
come on.
Go. Are you serious?
Like, let's go.
And like you're saying, Zach, like, we need to be begging the Lord to help us not to live in that fear.
Need to be.
Because he says he did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. So it's like, Lord, I know you've put the spirit in me. Like, please let me be attuned and not quench that spirit because I know this isn't a spirit of fear in me.
That's right. And let me say something. If you're not hungry, then you are starving. And starving is a very, very weak place to be. It is.
The last one, moving on to the last one. I want to get your opinion on this one, Zach. It's behind you is under the blood of Jesus, so that what's in front of you cannot be stopped.
That, to me, working in mental health and just seeing so many people that come to me with a lot of things that have been brought up, traumas, anxiety, depression, all stemming from what? Their past.
Yeah.
And when you realize that what God offers by this beautiful gift of salvation is that he says, no, your past no longer defines you. Your past is no longer even a part of the story. He even says in God's word that, let me tell you something, all of your sins, they have been not only forgiven, but I have forgotten about them.
Whoa.
Because he forgives you so much that he doesn't even remember the wrongs that you've done. So let me tell you something, it's never too late. And I view that as understanding that no matter what you've done in life, God is pursuing you. He is a pursuer God that wants nothing but to cover your past, what is behind you, with his blood that he has shed just for you, because you are chosen, because you are valued, you are seen, and you are loved. So that way, what is in front of you cannot be stopped, and we can live in the victory that only Jesus offers us to live in.
Yes.
What do you think, Brooke?
That's so good. I think it's so gracious of the Lord to say he's not only forgiven, but he's forgotten those things that we're so ashamed of, and they just don't have power over us anymore.
No more.
Because he takes them from us. We can drop them in his hands. I love that. Well, this has just been a powerful episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Pastor Sammy.
Yeah.
And thank you guys so much for joining us again.
And we'll see you next time on the Built Different Podcast.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different Podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different Podcast with Zach Clinton.